It's Wednesday, October the 18th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world.
For a second, I forgot we were recording a podcast.
Yeah, after I said, are you ready?
And I said yes, and I forgot immediately.
Thanks, bud. Thanks. However, this week, maybe not something as cool. Maybe not. It's cool, but let's face it. This week, we're talking about something sad.
I was going to say the temperature is cool.
Except it's also warm.
Yeah. But yeah, we are talking about something sad.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about The Foreigner this week. Starring sad panda Jackie Chan.
So you remember when we reviewed Kung Fu Yoga?
And we're like, Jack Chan is the man!
He's so happy. He's just fun. I really like his movies. They're really great.
This week, it's not
so much.
It's not Jackie Chan. It's Quang. Something. Fan.
It's, man, he's...
Sad man.
He doesn't smile at all.
No. You ever think about Jackie Chan in a serious role? This is it.
Yeah, I don't know. Where do you want to start with this?
The Foreigner. Jackie Chan has a daughter. He lives in London. And his daughter, he loves... Blah, blah, blah. She goes into...
they're going to go for prom or something.
Yeah, so he takes her to a store. He's parking. She runs into the store because she really wants to get this dress. Store blows up. Mm-hmm. Kills Jackie Chan's daughter.
Yeah, like terrorist attack.
Yeah. And then it immediately cuts to a scene of Jackie Chan grasping this dead body and he's crying.
Yeah.
And there's dirt everywhere and blood everywhere on him. Sad. Yeah. And that's Jackie Chan's makeup for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got pieces of glass in his face and scars and shit.
Yep. And he's constantly crying.
Or just sad.
Yeah. The other half of this movie is...
Taken.
It is, but it's also... it's a bit more of the political struggle of the Irish...
Of the Irish splinter group.
Yeah.
And the British government.
Yeah. And the idea is... Like... What are the Irish called? Are they called the Irish Mafia?
The IRA.
The IRA.
The true IRA or the real IRA or something?
Yeah, well, something like that. But anyways, they're trying to do some like shady bullshit to give Ireland more power, more political power against Britain,
so they can be a free Ireland.
Yeah, so that's the political side, and Jackie Chan is the foreign. Component to this.
Yeah, they even say at the beginning it's like he was born in China.
Yeah,
but he's been living there for like the past X many years.
Yeah,
and he renounced his citizenship from China. He's a British citizen now.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. He comes in to wreck shit because what he wants is revenge, vengeance, whatever you want to call it.
Revenge.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Kojima. and the movie plays out from there. He goes in. He does some...
You slowly learn that he's a badass motherfucker.
I mean, like, I don't think anyone's surprised. Like, could you imagine if this was a Jackie Chan film and he did no action?
Imagine, but the thing is like, imagine this is your first Jackie Chan film.
Okay.
Right. Like, I think the movie does a really good job at first hinting that he wants revenge, but then also slowly building up his skill set.
Yeah.
Where he starts off with, like, okay, he knows how to do... surveillance on people. He knows how to find out certain information.
Yeah.
Right? And it goes from that to, okay, he knows how to make small explosive devices.
Yeah.
And then it builds until he's doing some just like buck wild crazy special forces shit.
Yeah, for sure. Like your argument is sound, it's just that he's also Jackie Chan.
He's also Jackie Chan.
And it's impossible to ignore that fact. Like, if he was anyone else, like the reason Liam Neeson worked is that you were like, I didn't think Liam Neeson could do that.
Oh, the Lion God?
Yeah, I did not think he could do that. Yeah. But Jackie Chan, he still does that, like, not in movies. He's just showing off all the time. And you're like, man, Jackie Chan's old now, but he can still do that shit.
Yeah,
and so when you see this movie, you're like, he can do that shit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool practical stunts in this where Jackie Chan is doing his own shit.
I know, right? This guy.
There's a couple things where when they cut the camera in a certain way, you can kind of tell, like, that's probably a stuntman.
Yeah.
Like, especially during the Airbnb fight. Where he jumps from the stairwell down a floor.
Yeah.
And they only, during that whole scene, they only show the back of what the person Jackie Chan would be.
Yeah.
So, like, I assume that kind of stuff is...
He's an old man. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that it's, like, inexcusable.
Yeah.
But, like, it's obviously showing his age. And also the action in this movie is a lot slower.
It is.
And more methodical than...
It's methodical. And it's a bit... The way they've done the fight choreography, he's not as precise. Mm. And he's not as like... It definitely looks like he's a rusty old man.
It matches his character.
Yeah, it's real cool.
Like, I used to do this stuff, and I know the motions, but I haven't practiced it in a long time.
Yeah, because I think in almost all Jackie Chan's films, you could tell, like, it's very sharp, but it's also very, like, frame by frame,
It's precision, it's quick.
Yeah, but this one you could tell it's a bit more, like, it's a bit more muddy, it's slowed down, and I really liked it. I like seeing him, like, and he... Yeah, at no point, even though he was, like, this badass, you never thought that he was, like, invincible.
Yeah, he takes hits.
Yeah.
He gets put into situations where you're like, what are you going to do here?
Yeah.
And he has to get really creative.
Right? Yeah.
Again, the Airbnb fight is a really good example of that new style, but with classic Jackie. So,
yeah,
the classic, the new style is, like, the really muddy fights and taking hits and falling down the stairs and stuff. But the classic Jackie is like when they're trying to get into his room and they're breaking down the door.
Yeah.
And he goes into the little alcove.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's like classic jump in here. That's really classic Kung Fu Jackie.
Yeah.
Right? Doing that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
And he slides down like the antenna.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the movie's action was really faithful to what Jackie Chan can do.
Yeah. I think on that front, stellar.
But it also fit the movie.
Yeah. Like if you just want to see Jackie Chan do some fucking cool things, I think he does in this movie.
I also kind of wish they didn't show a lot of the... Because there's a lot of fights in the end game that they show in the trailer. Like the scene with the leaf blanket.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would have had way more impact if I didn't see that in the trailer.
I thankfully forgot.
Because that's a cool scene.
Yeah, and the whole theater was like, whoa.
There's a lot of cool moments in this movie where the audience, like... audibly reacting.
Yeah.
Right. There's a scene where someone's falling down and kind of Jackie puts a sharp piece of wood to his neck as he's falling and he's like threatens to kill him.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened, the whole theater just goes, whoa, hey, whoa.
Yeah. Relax. Also, yeah, the other thing too is in this character, Jackie Chan has no restraint. Like kill cam, kill mode is on.
No, yeah, he murders people just straight up.
And he's not above using
guerrilla tactics.
Or guns.
Yeah.
So that was weird, but also cool.
Jackie Chan using guns is weird. Jackie Chan being like Metal Gear Solid Snake.
Yeah.
Planting bombs and shit.
Yeah.
He made his own Semtex.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? Yeah. It was so cool.
He made his own nitroglycerin.
It was so cool.
He was doing a lot of really like guerrilla tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you hear the backstory, fits the character.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Pierce Brosnan's performance? Because he's the main villain.
The Irishman, the leader, the former leader of the IRA. I thought his character was great. I thought I really liked, and his performance as well was great. I just wish... See, that's the thing. Like, I liked the whole political Irish side to it. But I also think the movie didn't need so much of it.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah,
because it detracts from Jackie when they start getting into Pierce Brosnan's family issues.
Yeah. I know. It's like, did I need that? But it really does, like, emphasize the title of, like, The Foreigner. Because the truth is, this is a political movie about, like...
foreign entities.
Yeah. And Jackie Chan is just...
Here.
And
he's to sell it.
Yeah, I wish it was the other way around, where it was... There is this, you know... Irish thing going on with the British government. You don't really know too many details, but Jackie Chan just interrupts all the shit and mayhem ensues. I wish it was more like that, because there just was a bit too much of that political side that I felt made it too cluttered.
Yeah. Especially when it kind of gets into like inter-family relationships.
Yeah, like, at that point I was like, oh, that's too much info, because
like info you don't need.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I don't want to have to start caring about the villain now.
Yeah, and I don't.
Yeah.
Like, even, no matter what you do to try and make me care about the villain, it's like, you've already opened with the fact that he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, retroactively make me feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just cements the fact that his whole family's crazy, like, his wife is also an upbar.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to mention?
No, not really. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I'd see it twice.
Would you?
Yeah.
I would like to see it again, probably on, like, Netflix, but... Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun.
I still, yeah, like, I think it is one of the better movies of the year. I still don't, I didn't like it as much as I like Baby Driver. Like, Baby Driver is still my number one movie of the year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was good. I kind of recommend watching it in theater. There's something about seeing, like, kind of this big action type movie on a big screen.
I think there's something about seeing Jackie Chan on the big screen crying.
Yeah, just that too. Like, oh, the thing is this, in that movie, they could have just showed me a sad Jackie Chan and then started the movie. I'd be like, I believe whatever you say. I don't care. Like, just mess people up. Like,
yeah.
They have this, like, really tragic backstory for him, too, that makes it
even worse. Even worse, yeah.
But then it's just, like, it becomes borderline unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or even though it's a movie, like, it's not supposed to be all fact, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the amount of bad shit that has happened to Jackie Chan throughout his lifetime in this movie is just, like, you drew the worst hand.
Yeah.
Like, the worst hand.
Yeah. I agree. But like every Jackie Chan movie, though, Jackie always gets the girl.
Jackie always gets the girl. That's true.
And
no matter how sad he is.
Yeah. No matter who that girl is. No matter her involvement in the movie. He gets the girl. So he did that. Yeah. Right, there you go. That's The Foreigner. Shall we move on?
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. I recommend you see it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. For sure. Picks of the week. I'll open up. Guess what?
What?
Tamagotchis are back. Tamagotchis are back.
Okay.
Remember Tamagotchis, kids? If you don't, ask your parents. They were the original Neopets.
Okay.
They were like this small little portable electronic thing. And you basically, it was like a Pokemon, but a Pokemon that couldn't battle. You basically took care of it, cleaned up its shit, played with it, made it evolve, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big trend back in the day. And maybe 20 years ago, and for the 20th anniversary, Bandai are bringing them back. However, they're smaller, cheaper, come in 6 different flavors of colors, and
can I lick
them? I don't know. They look like candy. But yeah, they come back November 5th, $14.99, so an affordable price.
Yeah, it's like, it's something I'm interested in to see, like, what a new Tamagotchi would be like,
mm-hmm.
Rather than when those Digivolvers came out, and they're
$100.
Yeah.
And I was like, eh. Yeah. So yeah, I would, it's at a low enough price where I think I can just blow money on it. So I will. Pretty cool. Did you have a Tamagotchi as a kid?
I had one for about a week.
Mm.
And then my sister dropped it in the pool.
Oh, nice.
And I never got a new one.
Mm. I couldn't afford the Tamagotchi, the real one.
Oh, okay.
So I was I had one of those, like, convenience store knockoffs.
Yeah, I had one for my birthday.
Yeah, so that's that. And then on the movie front, there was a trailer for Marvel's Black Panther.
Trailer looks cool.
Is
that the final trailer or something?
It is. The thing about this trailer, though, is it makes the villain look 1,000 times cooler than Black Panther.
Yeah.
You're just like, damn, who's that guy?
He's a guy decked out in gold.
Yeah, he's like Gold Panther, and you're like, fuck me. I want him to be my hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
There's a lot of cool, they're really playing around with. Like Wakanda's tech is just out of fucking control.
It is.
Yeah.
And, like, I know it's supposed to be in the comics, but, like, in the current state of the MCU, everything, it's just one of the, like, this is the one, for me at least, that pushes it to, like, levels of just unbelievability. Like,
or, like, how did no one...
Yeah, how has this existed this whole time?
Yeah.
Like, the ones with Thor and Guardians, like, I get that, because guess what? They went to a different world. They went to space. But this one's like, we've been on Earth
the whole time,
and we got tech way bigger. We got a whole civilization better than yours.
Especially when Cap's shield is made out of vibranium, which is like Wakanda's whole
money. Yeah.
And it's just like, at no point where they're like, hey, where'd this metal come from?
Yeah. So I hope that gets addressed. I hope it's like, oh, actually, I don't know. I don't know if I would like that if they opened the movie like, oh, the government knew about it, but we just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be cheated. Yeah.
I would like, for me, though, I would really like an after credits scene,
mm-hmm.
where when Black Panther is kind of like hanging out with the Avengers and it's Tony and Banner just nerding out about like Wakanda tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be pretty great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Cool move. Cool
yeah, trailer. I like a couple of scenes where like they... he was on top of a car, and the car like took a corner really sharp, and he used that momentum to like run across a building and then jump back in, like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like He seems like a really agile superhero, which is what the costume suggests and what the name suggests.
Yeah.
So they're really playing with that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really excited to see this movie. So
Yeah, I feel like Black Panther is like, I would say it's the first one. Nah, maybe Guardians is, but Black Panther is the one that's kind of just like,
he's not a household name.
Yeah. Like coming off of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, even, I was like, all right, superhero movies are like kind of reaching.
Actually, you know what? Doctor Strange was like this too, where it was like,
he's not anyone.
Yeah, he's not anyone, except he is, but nobody really knows
him. Yeah.
Like, he is an important player.
Yeah.
Was Doctor Strange this year?
No.
No, it was last year?
Yeah.
Because I remember Doctor Strange having a lot of cool set pieces.
Doctor Strange was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like the more obscure they start going with superheroes,
yeah,
like, the more interesting movies they're making. Because they don't have to worry about...
Like expectation?
Expectations. Like a Captain America movie, I think, has to be a certain set of things. And I don't think Disney/Marvel will let people play with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas I can see people playing with a Doctor Strange. I can see people playing with a Black Panther.
Yeah.
Right? If they do... Is Inhumans Marvel? Or is it DC?
Inhumans is Marvel, but they're doing a TV show.
Yeah. So, like, I would like to see them play around with Inhumans.
Yeah. So. You know, like, I think after this is Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool, too.
So, or Miss Marvel, sorry, I don't know. Yeah. Seems like a cool trailer, and I think that was it for me this week.
Okay, I got two news stories.
Mm-hmm.
I got one about Humble Bundle.
Oh!
So Humble Bundle is a charity, or quote-unquote charity organization.
Do they bundle humble?
They humbly bundle.
Oh.
And they're known, for people who don't know, they're known in the PC space for having really insane deals on video games.
Yeah.
For charity's sake. So they'll get the developers, publishers, like their own keys and stuff, to be like, okay, here's like 20 games for $15. And like a lot of these retail for 70. Like just insane, insane deals. But the thing is that you can go into the payment section. You can pay whatever you feel like. Mm. You can, if you pay higher, more amount of money, you get different tiers, which means more games, and then also you can adjust how you want your money to be spread between either the publisher or the people giving the keys, the humble company, and the charity involved, right? So you have a lot of freedom there, which is pretty cool. The thing is, they were just acquired by IGN.
Mm-hmm.
So IGN has acquired Humble Bundle, because Humble Bundle actually makes a lot of cash.
Yep.
Even though they are a charity... It is still a business, but the thing is that not a lot of people adjust those sliders, and I think the sliders are automatically set to favor Humble Bundle getting a majority of the profits.
Of course.
So the thing is, they're like a cash cow, and this has kind of caused a rift on the internet, or at least in gaming forums, about conflicts of interest between the company type and what IGN does.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. I can see that being a problem.
Yeah. And so it's brought up a pretty interesting conversation of like, sure, it's capitalism. They have every right to purchase another company.
Yeah.
Right. To expand their portfolio, to do all this stuff. But at what point does you buying this company then hurt your other brands and hurt your reviews section? Right. So IGN is the biggest kind of entertainment site for that kind of like nerd culture stuff.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah,
it's kind of without question. I'd say like IGN's number one and Xbox number two.
Yeah.
But at what point does this purchase leak over into your reviews side and your more critical side, and does this affect your like user base? Are they now going to trust you less because you have made this purchase?
Right? Mm-hmm.
So it's brought a pretty interesting conversation. Like I want to get maybe your side of
what
you think on it.
Yeah, for sure. I think it definitely becomes a conflict of interest on the critiquing side.
Mm.
But I think this is more of a looking forward. And I think what we're seeing now is, you know, critical reviews from people in the industry are mattering less and less.
Yeah.
Right? And when it comes down to it, people just want to see games being played with commentary from personalities that they are familiar with, and no, they don't need you to tell them like, oh, this is a solid game, 8.72.
Yeah, when it comes into like the 100 point scale, I think that's a little useless.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, in who are into video games, will point the finger at IGN and saying like they have the worst, like no one believes in their ratings Anyway.
Yeah, there was a there's a YouTuber, he's pretty big, it's called Video Game Donkey.
Yeah.
And he came out with a thing about that like IGN is in this personality driven economy.
Yeah.
Like what you want to do as a reviewer is that you want to, or as a person like looking for reviews, you want to be able to identify with someone who has very similar taste that you do.
Yeah.
But the thing is IGN is so big that the person that you agree with on that website might not review that game
you want,
right? So they don't know who the website is serving
anymore. Yeah. Yeah, like at the end of the day, like I subscribe to IGN, but I'm there for their news feed.
Yeah, I'm here for the what's that 1 minute recap thing?
The Daily Fix.
Yeah, the Daily Fix.
Like I think a lot of people don't know, like I think a lot of people have forgotten this, but the acronym IGN is in gaming news.
Yeah.
Right? So like they've dropped that for a decade now, but that's kind of like what brings in the money for them. And now it's more than just gaming news, right? It's just pop culture news. So, definitely acquiring a Humble Bundle is a conflict of interest, but at the same time, they're just forecasting. They're looking forward to seeing what does well for them. And I don't know.
I think it's kind of a natural evolution of like
a
capitalistic company trying to move forward. Cause like at what point
is
IGN, I feel, has been kind of static for a while now.
I would say forever.
Yeah. They kind of, they had to do something to kind of like, hey, investors, hey, advertisers, like we now have this new venue, this new alleyway for you to walk down and pay some more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty natural. But yeah, again, I do agree that it is kind of a conflict of interest. Like you're going to now have this quote unquote charity company that is doing these deals where you know how you like the darkest timeline is that you bring out reviews for these games that are like, or you start doing not even reviews, but for older games, like you start doing all of a sudden like 2017 content on a 2006 game. And you're like, oh, this game used to be great and blah, blah, blah. And it just so happens to be in our Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
Right. So you kind of get into this really shady area.
Yeah.
And I guess if you want IGN to be a source for reviews and critiques, I think this is a terrible move.
Mm-hmm.
If they are slowly just going to turn this straight up into here's our internet personalities, they have their shows and here's some pop culture news.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. IGN. Yeah, for sure. They're known about their news. And they have tons of like different shows going on.
There's also another article that came out of Engadget. It actually came out last month, but I missed it. In 2013, the European Commission, they ordered a $430,000 study on how piracy affects the sales of music, books, movies, and games in the European Union.
Yep.
And out of that study came one thing, and it was for the movie industry, piracy is bad.
Yeah.
But through a Dutch organization, they're called, I don't even know how to pronounce this, ECORYS.
Oh.
ECORYS.
Okay.
So pretty much they asked for, under the Freedom of Information kind of thing, they requested the full study.
Okay.
In June of, or July of 2017.
Okay.
And what came out of the full study is that it turns out piracy is actually good for most of those businesses, except for movies.
Oh, wow.
So when it comes to blockbuster theater, like when the movie is in the theater, that is the only area where piracy is a negative.
For sure.
But every other company and workspace, they actually gain sales from piracy. Because what people are finding out is that people are pirating these games, trying them out for free, which means that they're trying more and weirder stuff. But once they really like something, they are super willing to then go and purchase that game or that movie or that soundtrack and stuff like that. It's really interesting because they kept this study in the dark since 2013.
Dang. Right? Well, because I mean, like, obviously, because with all the huge piracy, like, pushback, you don't want a study like that coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, the main blurb from this one is this seems to substantiate suspicions that the European Commission was hiding the study on purpose and cherry-picked the results they wanted to publish by choosing only the results which supported their political agenda towards stricter copyright rules.
Of course.
And man,
that's like one of those situations where it's like we want you to do the study because we're thinking what's going on.
We know what's gonna happen, and then it didn't.
Yeah, and then they're like, shit. Yeah.
So it's really cool to see that now there is actual hard data.
Yeah.
That piracy is most, like, at least in the European Union, mm-hmm. is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That can also change in terms of demographics, frequency of piracy, the economic status of said country, and like that'll always change.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in the European Union, like, piracy helps, except for blockbuster films.
For sure.
It's a pretty interesting article. I recommend you guys give it a read. So it's under Engadget, and the exact headline is EU withheld the study that shows piracy doesn't hurt sales.
Huh. Cool.
So yeah, I thought that was a really interesting just article.
Right. Neato. There.
But yeah, those are my picks. It was a pretty slow week.
Yeah.
Unless you want to talk, actually, wait, I got the hottest news.
Okay.
Sanrio boys.
Oh boy.
Have you ever heard about the Sanrio boys?
No.
They're a bunch of anime boys who are very pretty. And they are fans of Sanrio products.
Oh.
They're actual mascots that Sanrio made to try and...
Oh, they're mascots.
Yeah, they're actual mascots that Sanrio, the company, made to try and get young girls back into Sanrio.
Oh, fuck. They're just real pretty anime boys.
Yeah, they're just real pretty anime boys. And they all... So they all have, like, a certain Sanrio character.
Of course.
And they all have personalities that are supposed to match that Sanrio character.
Damn.
Right? And so in 2018... January 2018, Sanrio Boys is getting their own anime.
Damn.
And the trailer that came out is just a bunch of pretty boys being pretty. Shit is sparkling. They're throwing off ties in slow motion. They're unbuttoning shirts. I think one guy has like 16-pack. Like, he's just... It's kind of crazy.
Wow. Great.
Check out those Sanrio.
Love it. Needed in my life.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. This week's?
Yeah, you want to go to weeks? You want me to start?
Sure, you can go.
Okay, so I've been playing more Hollow Knight.
Mm-hmm.
The deeper I get into that game, the more I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to pick up more Metroid-y vibes from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the map, but also like the way power-ups are given out.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, I got an air dash and I got a wall jump.
Yes.
And then using those in conjunction with other power-ups you can get. I think I mentioned last week about the badge system, where you have badge slots,
mm-hmm.
and you can buy badges from merchants to give you different passives.
Yes.
To power you up. And mm-hmm. so like I've been getting into like kind of weirder badges that take up more slots and give you kind of... You can really make a build in this game. Like, you can have your own build, and different builds can work for different areas.
Sounds cool.
It's really cool. There's a lot of customization. The more areas I go through, like, the art just keeps getting prettier and prettier. And the soundtrack is this great, just, like, ambient. Like, every song fits the area you're in. And, like, how they mix in the music with, like, the ambient sound effects that are also within that level. So the one I just got to is, like, this weird fungus level. It's like in a cave underground, and everything has been taken over by different types of fungi, and the enemies are all kind of gross, like almost like Last of Us, like mushrooms running out of their face and shit. All that stuff, every level comes together into like this perfect, like, this world is drastically different than the world you were before.
Okay.
Before that.
Okay.
Bosses are getting more interesting. I'm fighting more people that are like me. I'm finding more people that are more monstrosities.
Mm-hmm.
I ran across a mantis village.
Like praying mantis?
Like praying mantises. And their whole village is all about, like, being the way of the warrior. Like,
fuck?
Yeah, they're all about fast, agile combat.
Okay.
And I met the mantis lords. And when you meet the mantis lords, there are three praying mantises sitting in thrones. And when you walk up to them, there's just a prompt that says challenge.
Oh.
And when you go to challenge them, your character turns towards them, draws his nail, because they use a nail for a weapon, and then chains come up on either side, spikes appear on the edges, And then one of the Mantis Lords comes down, and you have to fight all three of them, like, one by one. It's really cool the way they set it up. Everything in this game has, like, so much style. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
The other thing is that there's a lot of hidden mechanics I'm finding. I couldn't figure out how to get past this one portion of a level. And I learned eventually that I'm not really supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like, I was supposed to get an upgrade to allow me to go
forward. Yeah.
But I got really creative. So what happened is that I jumped into the thing. But when I... Because I noticed when I attack enemies or attack walls, I get pushed back. Right? So what I did while I jumped into the spikes, I slashed the spikes. And what that did is that it bounced me. And so I started having this rhythm of, as I was falling into spikes, slash, slash, slash. And I got to areas I wasn't supposed to.
Nice.
And it kind of rewarded me for that because I got different power-ups that were more powerful than where I needed to be. And so when I went back, I was able to defeat those enemies much easier, or defeat those bosses much easier. It's really cool. It really rewards exploration.
Neat.
Yeah. So yeah, I really like it. I'm going to keep playing it. I think I'm like four hours into it now. And I learned just recently that there's going to be a bunch of free DLC on Halloween.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So if you guys, there's a whole new area. It's new bosses and stuff. So if you guys have a PC, like, I'd totally recommend Hollow Knight.
I don't have a PC.
Well, sorry. But it's pretty good. Keeping on the video game front, I also played a multiplayer game. It's called Push Me, Pull You.
Oh, I heard of this.
So, it's a competitive multiplayer game. It's two controllers but four players, so you each share a controller. And I'm hesitant to call it a sports game, but pretty much what it is there's a ball. You're in a circular court, and there's a ball in the middle. You have to get the ball and keep it in your area. The longer you keep it in the area, the more a bar fills. And if you fill the bar all the way to the max, you get a point.
Okay.
The first person or the first team to 3 points wins.
Mm.
The catch is, who you're playing as is one connected human being.
Oh, man.
So you remember the cartoon Cat Dog?
Yeah.
So it's like that. There is a human upper body on each side.
Yeah.
And there is just a fleshy portion in the middle.
Oh.
Right? And so on one end is one person. On the other end is one person. And you're just connected. There's no legs. There's anything. You're just a sack, like a tube of meat.
Okay.
And you crawl around on your hands.
Hmm.
So one person controls one end, the other person controls the other end.
Mm.
And you can shrink and grow your body from the middle to make yourself longer or shorter. If you're shorter, you can kind of coordinate movements better, and also you can move faster. If you're longer, you can take the ball and wrap it and drag it and, like, try and protect it in different ways.
Hmm.
Where the mechanics come in is when you're small and you get into the middle of a long person, you can push them. Right, so while you're in the middle and you're pushing them from the middle, they have no control and they're just being dragged.
Okay.
Right, so you can push them into your side and stuff like that. So just going inside and wrapping around the ball doesn't work because I can come from the back,
yeah,
and just, like, start pushing you into our side. Right, it's pretty fun. It's fucking weird.
Sounds weird.
It's super weird. And also there's a lot of different game modes. Like, if you only have two players,
mm-hmm.
There's a two player mode where it's called I think it's called, like, sleep or something. I forget. It's something to do with sleeping or being tired. But pretty much one of your... You play as the one half, but the other half of you is taking a nap. So you're just dragging around this dead portion of you that's taking a nap, and you're trying to singly bring this ball over while your opponent is trying to do the same thing. So it's pretty interesting.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of different game modes to it. Hmm. It's pretty fun. I really liked it.
I wish there were more games that had two-player control games where you both control the same thing.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah. It's dumb.
Let me introduce you to Katamari Damacy.
No, I liked... do you ever play Pod Racing on the 64?
Yeah.
Do you ever play the two-player version where you're one pod racer? And,
what? Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing.
And you're each an engine?
I'm going to try that out. That sounds cool.
Fucking sucks, but it's amazing.
Okay. That sounds great. And then the last video game I tried that was new was Sports Friends.
Sports Friends.
Yeah, it came out a couple... I think it came out like maybe a year or two ago.
Okay, sounds familiar.
It's a collection of multiplayer mini games, and they're different, like, pseudo sports. There's one where
pseudo sports.
Yeah, there's one where it's like you eat, you're two players on either end, and you each have like a pole vault pole, but there's a ball on a string, and what you have to do is jump up or and kick the ball or slap the ball with your stick into your opponent's board.
Okay.
And when you slap it into the board, you get a point. But you could also like pole vault and kick your enemy off their pole. And the whole point is to get the ball to the other side, like most sports. There's another one where you're just basic geometric shapes on a team, and you have to catch a square, like pong ball, and carry it into your color. And as while you're in your color, a grid fills up, and then if you fill the grid, but you can pass the ball, you can bank it off of stuff.
Huh.
There's another game where it's a two-player game, you're two people, and there's a ball in the middle. And what you have to do is take the ball to your opponent's side and drop it in the ocean. And if it falls off screen into the ocean, then you get a point. But you have like, you have these orbs around you.
Right.
And I think it's like 7 or 8. And it's how many times you can jump or do a movement action.
Yeah.
So like the ball could be off screen and you can go down into the off screen, grab the ball, and then hop your way back up. So it makes these like really tense kind of situations where, because when it's in the water, it's slowly sinking.
Yeah.
And that portion of the game is you fighting the other person to try and make them not be able to grab the ball. But then it makes these tension situations where like you get these last minute, like the ball is off screen, but you just made it. And then you come all the way back up and drop it.
Yeah.
And then the other game, the last game, is one I didn't get to try because it's for Move controllers only. You might have heard of it. It's called Johann Sebastian Joust. And the point of that game is that you have a Move controller, and while you're holding it, when the game starts, it's a certain color. The thing is if you move your Move controller too much, it changes the color, and then when the color changes, you lose. But you can do anything in the real world to get your opponent to move that controller.
Uh-huh.
And so I've seen videos online of people just, like, whipping chairs at other people or, like, kicking them in the shins and shit.
You need room for that game.
You need room for that game. B, you need Move controllers for that game.
Yeah.
I have learned that Move controllers are very expensive.
Mm.
It's like $100 for two in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks super fun. And I think with some house rules, you can make it tame or as untame as you want it to be.
That game's cool because you don't need a screen to play.
Yeah, it's just the...
Yeah, but then at some point it's like, is it still a video game?
Yeah, that one's a little, that's a weird, like...
Like, why do I need a PlayStation? Why can't you just give me the damn controllers?
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I have this controller just be a motion sensor?
Yeah.
Right? And they all, like, Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that one's pretty interesting. I really want to try it. I just don't, A, don't have the space, and B, don't have the controllers.
Yeah.
So, I played a lot of, like, fun multiplayer games.
Sounds like it.
It's pretty good. And then the last thing I did is I watched a movie.
Movie?
I watched Lupin the Third. It's for the 50th anniversary.
That sounds like one of them animes.
It is one of them animes. Those Japanese animes.
That Japanimation?
Japanimation, you got it.
Japanime.
It's Lupin the Third.
All you Chinamen and your Japanime.
I couldn't. I couldn't keep it in me. That one came. That laugh came out my nose. It's pretty good. So yeah, Lupin the Third. It's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
Sure is.
So this movie is called Lupin the Third, The Blood Spray of Goemon Ishikawa.
Wow.
It centers around Goemon,
The
samurai team member of the Lupin the Third team.
Mm.
And what he's doing basically when he's not on the team. And in this movie, he is hired by the Yakuza to be a...
Well, that explains it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's hired by the Yakuza to be a bodyguard.
Oh, no.
And they are on this gambling ship. And so he's there to protect the boss. It should be a normal routine thing. But a guy comes. His name is Hawk. He's very European. He's burly, huge beard, wears flannel.
Uh-oh.
His weapon of choices are just two axes that he keeps in his pocket.
You sure he's not Canadian?
He might be Canadian. You know what? He might be Canadian.
Oh, okay.
And he's got like, you know, remember Jaws from James Bond?
Yeah.
He's got the metal teeth.
Yeah.
He's got like a really anime version of that where they're like fucking spikes and shit. Like,
oh.
Yeah. They look like shark teeth.
Yummy.
So Hawk comes and he pretty much destroys the ship. He walks in. This man is portrayed as an unstoppable force. He is basically the Juggernaut. Right. He walks into the engine room, and what he does is that he finds the main turbine and he just starts hacking the engine with axes. And then he lights his cigarette off of an explosion, or his cigar off an explosion, right? And he is just this no-nonsense monster. Like, he has become, he is basically so strong that, like, he went to, it's slight spoilers, like, there's a scene in the movie where he goes to prison, but only because he wants to take a nap. And then he takes a nap and escapes and, like, kills a bunch of people. He's like Cody, I guess, from Street Fighter.
Wow, that's okay.
But the thing is, so Hawk messes up Goemon's whole thing. The Yakuza leader he was supposed to protect dies, and it takes him, and he fights Hawk. The thing is, though, Hawk fucks him up, and they're in their first encounter, and it the rest of the movie focuses on Goemon trying to figure out why he felt so scared. Trying to regain the trust of the Yakuza that he failed. And he's hired then by the Sun to kill Hawk. So it is all about is that revenge, because not because he cared about the leader, but more so that he failed a job. And because he is so loyal and will of the samurai and all that stuff, he has to do it. The one thing about this OVA is that it is fucking gory.
The trailer made it look that way.
There are, like, the final fight scene is some of the most fucked up shit I've ever seen. Like, there's very little gore, but the thing is, when they use it, they use it. Like, people are getting clear cut, losing limbs.
Portions of themselves. When you put this trailer on, I was like, is this really Lupin?
And the thing too is, the other Lupin character isn't it? Like, Fujiko's in it, Lupin's in it. Jinbei, the guy with the Jigen, the guy with the hat. He's in it. But the thing is that they really portray them as these really adult characters. Like, there's a scene where Fujiko is just, like, smoking out of a bong. There's other portions where Lupin is just blitzed off his fucking face and trying to bang Fujiko. Jigen is, like, constantly just, like, doing drugs. It's like a really adult version of Lupin. Like, what thieves probably actually do. Right?
When you say that, that makes so much more sense.
Because they're a group of thieves. Like, they have no loyalty to each other. They just know that they're a good team together. So when they have a heist, that's when those movies happen. And so this movie, the side character portion, really dives into the Lupin characters. They're all mercenaries. They have no loyalty to each other. They just know that they work well together. And so, like, there are portions of this movie where they have the opportunity to help Goemon, and they just don't. Or they make up excuses to not, right? Because, like, oh, he wouldn't want it that way. But really, it's just, like, it kind of feels like they're saving their own hide.
Of course, man. No honor among thieves.
So, yeah, it makes them feel like thieves. And it's this, it's a cool dynamic, because it's this character whose whole life and moral code is built up upon honor. But he only works in the dark underworld. And it's like he's purposely making things harder for himself, but that's the way he justifies what he's doing. So yeah, there's a lot of cool scenes. There's a lot of, like, really...
Seems cool.
Stock, like samurai footage. Like, I'm going to go near a waterfall and shit.
Does he flick his sword in and out of the scabbard a bit?
He does. There's a scene where he's like, I don't want to fight. And then he just thumbs out the scabbard. And he's like, it's a short OVA too. It's under an hour, including
intro. That makes it way more interesting.
Intro and credits. I think it's a really good Lupin the Third movie, because it takes a side of Lupin and those characters that I've never seen before. And then also, even if you can't handle gore, they use it effectively, and it's not egregious. Like, what they're doing is egregious, like what they do to other people, like when you think about it, it's like, sucks. But it's not like the whole movie is just people getting their faces cut off.
Very cool.
It's like they use it very sparingly, but they use it with great effect. So yeah, it's pretty great. The animation quality is fantastic, and the final fight scene between Goemon and Hawk is very simple, but there's like some of the most interesting moves and everything feels more real and weighted. Except for this one portion that's really fucked up, but yeah, like it's it's a really reserved, like, they're not just jumping off of walls and shit and like doing like ching ching ching, like where they like two people just clash into each other and it's only flashes of light. Mm-hmm. Like it's very thought out methodical movements. Like you feel that if these two people were at the peak of whatever condition they're trying to get to, like that this would be a fight. Right? It's pretty cool.
Neat.
Do recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's been the new stuff for my week. Yeah. I also went to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Recently. I've been to Niagara Falls in a long time.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm there like every second weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. I forgot that Clifton Hill is basically mini Vegas.
Yeah.
Like it's just neon lights.
And there's your arcade.
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went to the falls. We saw that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. You go to the casinos?
No, we wanted to, but nobody, like me and my one Chinese friend wanted to go. And I'm like, dude, you're really showing like the stereotype here. Right? Yeah. But no one else wanted to go. So we didn't end up going.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went down Clifton Hill, took some touristy shots, went to the falls.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, American Falls fucking suck. And then we went over to the Canadian Falls. We're like, these falls are fucking great.
Yep.
And I forgot that near the Canadian Falls, when you have the Welcome Center, it's just constantly raining because of the mist.
It is.
It's just perpetually
raining. Did they still have the lights on? Or
at night? Yeah, they had the lights on.
Okay, because so I know they stopped that at some point.
Oh, will they?
In the winter they do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I still think I prefer seeing Niagara Falls in the winter.
When it's frozen?
I think it's really cool when it's frozen and there's those big like ice mounds from all the mist and it's like constantly snowing where it is like, that's a really cool scene. That's like just like nature.
Yeah, it's totally worth seeing Niagara Falls in the different seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they had a bunch of lights lighting up the falls and stuff. Yeah. I think my favorite thing, like, I don't know, this is gonna make me sound real pretentious. But it's like forces of nature fighting against each other where the water just wants to keep going and going, and then winter is just trying to fucking freeze it solid. So you get this like kind of battle between the cold weather and the raging river and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Have you ever done what is it, Made of the Mist?
No, I want to.
Yeah,
I really want to.
Pretty cool. You get wet.
Can you do it in the winter?
I think you can.
Ooh.
But I think there's certain restrictions.
Like it can't be.
Yeah, and you also can't get too close because
the water level.
Yeah, it's frozen, and they can't have the boat there, right? But,
I guess it'd be better to go when it's not frozen.
Yeah, you get to go closer, and you get soaked. Yeah.
All right, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, last time, what do you call it? Yeah, no. But yeah, I'm usually in Niagara Falls, like, every weekend.
And you're like, oh, I've seen these already.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm always at the casino.
Yeah, I'm still not jaded enough. I see the falls, I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was there, I was like, fuck, this is really cool. Yeah. Why don't I appreciate this more?
American Falls, though, they suck.
Those for sure. Never go there.
Yeah. Never go to the American Falls. Never. It's all about the Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. I noticed, though, they put in, there's like a zip line now.
Yes.
You can like zip line from one end of the falls to the other.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Mm. I think it's very expensive.
Probably. It's a tourist area. It's a tourist trap.
Yeah.
We were looking at ice cream. And it's like, you want a cone. It's like fucking $5.
Yeah. What do you call it? I went with my dad took me to the new casino there.
Yeah.
And we went to, you know how there's restaurants in the casino?
Yeah.
He took me to the high-end stuff. And, man, the food that they had there is crazy good.
Like, what? Like, what
do they got? They have, this cool little sushi bar. Like, and it's literally just a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or a countertop maybe 8 feet long. Mm-hmm. That's it. And they have, like, some pretty high-end sushi stuff there. Just a lot of little, like, a la carte menu type items. And then we went for steak.
Okay.
And yeah, kind of expensive.
Did the menu just say market price?
Some of them did.
Okay.
I was going to get King Crab, and it just said market.
And you're like, nope.
And I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that
one. Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool.
And Niagara Falls it's cool. I can see going there might be a little tiring. It was really weird because we went on a Saturday, but everything closed at 10.
Yeah, you know what? Because you didn't go in the summer.
Is everything open late in the summer?
In the summer, they're open till 1.
Dang.
Because it's hot out.
people are doing stuff.
And people are there. Yeah. But if you go now when it's getting cold, yeah.
No. Everything closes at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Like, it's no go.
We made the fastest eating decision we've ever made in our lives. Yeah. Like, we had to get a takeout at a sushi place.
Yeah.
And we had 8 minutes to order before the.
Sheesh.
So we picked the whole party tray for like 7 people in 8 minutes.
Wait, actually, no way. I might be lying to you because I know that when I was younger, I was a kid. Clifton Hill, I remember we'd go at like 3 a.m. and it'd be open still.
Whoa.
So it might be 24 hours, actually.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. Right, cool.
Well, it's time to go on the zone.
Yeah, but that's cool. Cool. Awesome. Let's see. For my week, I bought a book. Bought the Overwatch.
Fuck you. No, you didn't.
And Anthology Edition.
Showing me a book.
I'm holding okay. You this. It's a graphic novel.
It's a book.
Yeah, it's got pages and covers and words. So it's a book to me. This collects all of the Overwatch digital comics from the first year of Overwatch.
Dang.
So all the origin stories, all the new character comics up until the Omnic Crisis or Uprising comic. It doesn't have anything for after Overwatch Anniversary. I believe it'll be in their like second anthology. But it's really cool. It's just nice to have all those comics in like a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Pages are... There's just something about smelling paper sometimes. I think. Yeah.
Is it like when I take cellophane off of games and I smell them?
Kinda, but for books. I think avid book readers. I don't know. I don't have this experience, but I think they have once described to me when they first crack open that spine and they smell the center.
Oh, that sounds like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, I believe you. I know what you mean. But it's there.
So this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like really nice hardcover.
Yeah. It's really nice. I was surprised.
Pages are super glossy too.
Yeah.
It's really high quality stuff.
Yeah. It's very nice. I am into it. But yeah, that's the Overwatch comic book. Let's see. The other thing I did is I watched two shows.
Mm-hmm.
I love sci-fi. You know that. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the show called Dark Matter and how I loved it.
Yep.
And I'm currently talking about the show called Star Wars or Trek
Discovery. Like Star Wars, whoa.
Star Trek Discovery.
I got your book.
Thanks, asshole. I'm talking about this show called Star Trek Discovery, and I think it's really neat, but not Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I found the sci-fi show that is just incredible. It's called The Expanse.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's on sci-fi. That's probably why.
Hipster.
Unlike the other two shows where you're following the dealings of like people on a ship and their adventures, this is straight up like Game of Thrones in space.
Space incest?
Maybe not Game of Thrones, but it's got like
space dragons.
They've got the real time politics. Like they've built out a universe and they've got issues, and it's about different characters and different scenarios.
Are there giant robots?
No.
Because I was going to say, you're just describing Gundam.
No, it's really neat, like, and how... Yeah, but they definitely have it, like, how the colonists are not... Or the Earth people look down upon the colonists.
And they want to control the colonists, but the colonists are like, we live in space, fuck
not,
you.
Not necessarily. This one's more like Earth versus Mars versus the people who live on the asteroid belt.
Oh.
Because that's where they mine all their resources and stuff, and who controls them and whatnot. And they're all on the brink of political collapse, and it's just going to take one spark to start a war.
At what point, like, at what level of tech can a blue-collar job no longer be blue-collar? Like, if I'm mining asteroids in space...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Is that still a blue-collar job?
Well, that's it. That is blue-collar. That's totally blue-collar. But then the way they depict Earth is like, fucking wow, these people are from the future.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's really neat. They have this cool thing about how... Like, the things I think about go really into it because... If you were born in the colonies in space, when you're growing up, your body isn't subjected to gravitational forces.
Yeah.
And there's tells on your physiology. So, like, something common would be you have long bones.
Oh, because gravity is...
Yeah, so you're really lanky, or you have, like, a bump on the upper part of your vertebrae because your neck isn't being compressed.
Oh,
right?
Cool.
And it's just... They have a lot of little tells like that, and when the Earth... Like, there's a scene when, like, the Earth people, they go to torture a colonist for information. They just bring him to Earth, and they just chain him to a wall standing. And he's so weak that he can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's like watching this skinny giant just collapse under his weight of his own body.
Yeah, because his muscles don't.
Yeah, work. And that's so like, fucked up. Yeah, so the show goes like into that kind of stuff, and it's real neat. The production values are incredible.
They should have got one of those Dragon Ball Z gravity pods.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what I thought about too. I was like, whew, like that training thing, the Capsule Corp thing. But yeah, I think the two seasons are out. I've actually read that this was probably the show, like the sci-fi show, and I've kind of been putting it off until I get through the ones I was interested in.
Okay.
I'm glad I save it till the end because I'm super into it. But the only thing is, it is definitely not the typical what you think of sci-fi being, we're on the spaceship, we're exploring the universe. It's not that.
Okay.
So that's just something to keep in mind. The other show I watched, that I watched more of, because it was just something that... I was able to put on the background while I was doing other things. It's called This Is Us.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Milo Ventimiglia. If you ever watched Heroes, he was the main character. He was Peter Petrelli. He was also in Gilmore Girls.
Okay, I'm lost. I don't know who this person is.
All right. The other girls, the other star is Mandy Moore.
Wait, like the singer?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. She's old now. Well, okay. She's not old. She's like in her 30s.
Older.
She's older. She doesn't look like that. Like that blonde young thing anymore.
Blonde 19-year-old.
Yeah.
When time happens.
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, she still looks super pretty.
Okay.
But she's just older. She looks like a woman, not a girl.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to deal with.
She took a note from Celine Dion's pages and went, "Man, I feel like a woman."
Yeah. So this show is just about.
No, Shania Twain. That's not Celine Dion.
Yes.
That's Shania Twain.
Yeah. This show is at its core. It's about family and the problems that happen within family, especially when your family has a lot of, let's say, inherent issues from the get-go. And that's all it's about. Like, it's not this huge game-changing story about the world or even the city or like anything like that. It's just what's happening in this family.
Mm.
And that's all it's about. It takes place across three or multiple timelines, just takes place across the past and the present. The first episode is actually really well done, and how it sucks that, like, it's to talk about it, I have to spoil it a little bit, but I'm gonna try to dance around it. But basically, the first episode, you don't know what's going on, and then when they reveal how it's all linked together, there's a really good aha moment that you don't see coming.
Okay.
And the reason you don't see it coming is because of the circumstances of this family.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why you can't, that's why you just don't, you can never guess it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it takes place in the past and the future, the two storylines, they are really clever at feeding you information, but also questioning the what's the consequences in either timeline. So if they show something in the past, you're going to want to know what happens in the future. But they also do it the other way, where like they show you something in the future and you're like, well, how did that affect the past? Right?
Wait, so are they going between timelines, or is it just mainly a thing of like, here's the thing that happened in the present.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? And they show you the reason that happened, like the spark that happened 3 years ago.
Yeah, and they go back. But it goes both ways. It's not okay.
But it's not. It's not like a time travel.
No. They just show you. They just show you two. Yeah, basically, they're showing you two separate times in this single family.
Okay, like, why did this emotional explosion happen? And then it goes back, and it's like, here's the catalyst. And then, or it goes, here's the catalyst, here's the
reason. And it just gets real sad, because sometimes they show like issues in the present moment, right?
Yeah.
But when they go to the past, you know already that in the past it's never going to be resolved.
Okay.
Because it isn't resolved in the present. So it's just really just, it's tough to watch sometimes. You're just like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you want to root for the hero, but you already know that it's just not going to go the way you want. And then whenever they introduce new information to you, they only do it if they can ask two more questions of you. So you're constantly curious. Like, by the time they reveal information to you, you're just like, that's great. But now I want to know this thing, and I want to know that thing instead. But yeah, it's really good. It's, I'm watching this with my girlfriend. So it's, I suppose, she's crying like at every episode.
And you're just like, ugh. Weak.
Kinda. I'm like, you guys gotta have no heart.
So, and secretly, like, one tear. You're like, get out of here.
But there's a lot of great, like, family moments with, like, husband and wife, or brother and sister, or, you know, father and son, mother and son.
When you say great, do you mean positive or negative?
Both. Oh, okay. But like the way that they've shown that, like, there's some real amazingly well uplifting moments, but then there's just some like just awful, like awful things
where they just turn into awful people for no reason.
Yeah, and then I think with something else you have to remember is that the past takes place, you know, early 80s. And
a different time.
Yeah, so like there's different stereotypes or different social norms that
different
they have to,
standards.
Yeah, that they contest with, and they bring that forward.
That's pretty cool.
And so yeah, it's really it's cool how they've linked it all together. It's just really well thought out. It's one of those shows that just it's like because the focus is so small on the general impact of the world, they have a lot of time to really flesh out their ideas.
Okay.
And it's fun. It's fun to check out. Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, no, I was into it.
So is it on TV? Is it on Netflix?
It's on TV, but it's currently on Netflix, the first season.
Okay.
It's 18 episodes. There are 40-minute episodes, so okay. I don't know. I think it's worth checking out if you want something that's just different, or you want something that's a bit more relatable, I suppose.
Serious?
Yeah. Like, okay. if you want something, like, if you're in the mood for that.
If you're not in the mood for those Japanese animations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you're sick of those. But other than that, yeah, that was my week. I went to my first football game.
How was it?
Football, it's like,
you know, you went to a CFL game.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did. I went to a Ticats
game. How do you game. Like about sports ball?
It's what it's, do you like it's fun when you go with a big group.
Yeah.
It's also fun when your boss is like, "Let's get hammered." So
that'll do it.
Yeah, that's what we did. And it was great that a lot of the guys there knew a lot about sports ball, and they wanted to tell me about everything.
Okay.
I
learned about three downs.
Yeah.
It's better than four downs.
Yeah. So I sat, you know, at the bridge point between the sports ball dudes and the girls who just don't Check really out. Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's who I work with. I work with the women.
Okay.
And all the guys work somewhere else. So.
I'll ask it off the air.
Okay. Sure, no problemo. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was cool. It was at night.
Yeah.
So that's fun. It's always crazy to think that, damn, those lights are bright.
The Tim Hortons Stadium is a really nice stadium.
Holy crap, it is so beautiful there. And yeah, those lights are great.
Mm-hmm.
Like any game, though, it's always fun to see just how much is going on when you're there versus what you see on TV.
Yeah, there's a lot more behind the scenes going on on the bench.
Exactly, or there's just even a lot more interaction with the audience.
Yeah.
Like, during those commercial breaks, it's always amazing how many, like, contests they do.
T-shirt cannons.
Yeah, just, like, a lot of things, and it was cool. Yeah, go watch a sporting event at least once in your life.
My favorite memory about going to a Tiger Cats game was I once successfully heckled a player.
Oh.
If you watch the episode of The Simpsons,
yeah.
when Homer is heckling Ned Flanders, he goes, "Flanders!" And then Flanders looks around and he's like, "Game's over there!" I did that to a player. I forget the quarterback's name, but he was sitting on the bench when the defense was up, and I'm like, "Eh." Yeah. He looks around, I'm like, "Game's over there!"
Yeah. Oh my god.
But I was like 14 at the time.
Oh,
so.
Wow. Yeah, the other thing was, it was cool seeing people actually do like their little celebrations
when they make a goal.
Yeah, or like when they just sack the quarterback. I'm just like, dang.
So I'll let you know actually a little secret. So I had an interview with that football team.
Yeah.
That's for a video editing position before.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things is apparently what they do to like boost motivations, they actually take scenes from the season and they create like a sizzle reel of like the best plays through the season. And they show it to those players. Right? And apparently that gets them like super hype.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So like there's a lot of stuff that goes into like professional
it's
sports.
Nuts.
There's a lot of work there.
I know. It's cool. But no, it was cool to experience it. Would I go again? Sure. If as long as I wasn't paying.
Yeah, I'm at a point now where I don't even think I'd pay for like an e-sport.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I still want to check out a Formula One weekend.
But that's different. That's a whole weekend.
Yeah,
Like, if I were to go to, like, an NFL game, like a playoff game, that's an event.
Yeah.
I would pay for that.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, a regular season game, like, you show up once.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. You're right.
Where a Formula One race is more of a spectacle. You're there all weekend. You're there before the race. You're there after the race.
Yeah.
That's true. The city's all lit up because of the event. Yeah, okay, yeah. For sure.
So it's more of a show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, that was fun. I think that's it for my week. Cool. Yeah, that's it for us. Yeah. Next week, we're going to...
Have you been keeping up on Build?
No.
Neither have I.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, like, I have the episodes. We could... But, like, this week, we're... Issues. Last week, we were... We did something last... Oh, Kung Fu Panda. Yeah, Yoga. That was a panda. Get out of here. Same shit.
No, I feel like I should watch those.
Yeah.
I really want to see where they go with
So them. I'm hearing that it's actually really good.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Because the first three episodes didn't make it seem that way. It seemed okay.
I mean, I'm hearing that there's Batman has a name. And Bat-Man? And there's maybe a Robin as well. I don't know. Fuck it. I don't know.
Evil Batman. And
yeah. I'm hearing it. It might be good.
Okay. I really like the characters that they set up. That show, like the cafe owner is dope.
Yeah,
the sleepy girl is pretty dope too.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so maybe we'll return to that next week. Otherwise, that's it from us.